During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale. Right.
I'm John Batchelor with Professor Robert G. Parkinson. The book is Heart of American Darkness, Bewilderment and Horror on the Early Frontier. There is no easy sorting this out. This isn't good guys, bad guys. This is everybody moving around in what one side regards as a wilderness. The other side regards as very well settled and extremely tribal. So that we have the Shawnees and the Delawares and the Mingos living side by side, and there are Wyandots, there are other tribes. They all know their tribes. We have the colonials, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Virginia, living side by side and at odds. And then we have land speculators who look to take advantage of land that belonged in the hunting grounds of the Native Americans or in Pennsylvania, or if you're a Pennsylvanian, in Virginia. You can understand everybody's armed. And then there are rumors of the Native Americans being savages. This word savage is routine, I learned from Rob. So we come now to the events that we started with, the Logan's lament, losing his family by the Yellow Creek. Please carefully, Rob, introduce us to that murder. Why did it take place? What is the reason? It wasn't Colonel Tom Cressup. It was Michael Cressup. Who was Michael at the time? I believe he was 32 years old. And why did it come to murder?
Well, the operative word in what you just said is the word tribal. And we have long thought of Native peoples as tribal, but one of the things I like to do in this book is to consider Pennsylvanians and Virginians and Marylanders as acting just as tribal. They are tribes themselves. And so what has gone on? The British are broke. And we know this in reference to the imperial crisis, obviously, and this is the reason we have taxes and tea being thrown overboard in Boston. But one of the ways that Britain tries to cut costs and save money is they take all their troops out of Fort Pitt. And so Fort Pitt, during the Seven Years' War, was this sort of bastion of English power in over the mountains, now lays empty. And so a power vacuum about who actually controls the forks of the Ohio, going back to the time when George Washington said it's for the Ohio Company and therefore for Virginia. Virginia and Pennsylvania have battled mostly over paper and maps over who's going to control the forks. But after the British leave, it turns into yet another border civil war, just like the one from the 1730s between Pennsylvania and Maryland. Pennsylvania and Virginia they both say this is, they extend county borders to encompass the forks. It's Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania. It's also West Augusta County, Virginia. Both sides elect a slate of magistrates. They lock one another up. They beat one another up. There's some shooting going on anybody who lives out there has to basically decide which tribe they belong to. That devolves into problems with Native peoples who are very concerned about what is going on here. Who's in charge? Who do we deal with? Who's going to restrain any kind of colonial scouting and trading? What is the regulatory body that's going on here? And so that devolves into there's a small incident on the Ohio River of a couple of traders get jumped by a native group of Cherokees, actually, who really aren't involved at all. And that devolves, that just sort of escalates fear more and more over the course of really March and April 1774. Right. Just as the Parliament has voted for the coercive acts and the ship carrying that news is on the Atlantic. This is when this is all devolving. There's a tavern today where the Mountaineer casino and racetrack is in West Virginia. That's right on the Ohio River. And right across the river is the mouth of Yellow Creek, which dumps into the dumps into the Ohio. A couple of tenths of a mile up Yellow Creek is a band of Mingo natives. And Logan, James Logan Shekalemi, is and his family, his mother is there with him, his sister is there with him, his brother is there with him, and there are other Mingos who are there.
This is the Logan of Logan's Lament, the second son of the original Shekalemi. Please continue, Professor.
That's right. That's right. Now, and the Shekalemis have grown up for 40 years. Their father was a negotiator. The family has tried their best to get along with colonists for their whole lives. And so this is just for them another episode of diplomacy, what they think is diplomacy. So they paddle down Yellow Creek and cross the Ohio River, and what they think is going to be an effort to try to keep the peace in, and they go into this tavern on a place called Baker's Bottom, and they engage in kind of active diplomacy. They think that this is a way to keep the peace. What they don't know is there are probably somewhere about a dozen men lurking in a second room, a back apartment in that tavern, who have gathered there to kill them. And so there is a shooting contest is proposed. You guys hit a mark out there in the trees. Let's see who can get closest to it. But that is really an effort to unload the Mingo's rifles. And then as soon as the shots are fired, there's a scuffle inside, and those men hiding in the back apartment leap out and kill Logan's younger brother. They kill his sister. They shoot down his mother and three other Mingo men whose names we don't know. And so eight Native people die at this episode.
Let me read the names of the shooters.
Okay.
Nathan Tomlinson, Daniel Greathouse, Edward King, Michael Myers, Jacob Greathouse, Joseph Sferingen, and Raymond Joseph Tomlinson. Not one of them is named Cressup. Where is Michael Cressup?
Michael Cressup, so as tensions are rising, Michael finds himself about 10 days before this in charge of a group of angry settlers who are threatening to do something like this. And Michael tries sometimes he encourages them. At some point during the rough week before Yellow Creek, he attacks natives in a canoe coming down the Ohio River. But he also tries to talk them out of it, and so doing further damage. So he's sort of, what the record shows is Michael's kind of all over the place about how much violence he wants to inflict this week before Yellow Creek. And a couple of days before, he says, I'm done. I'm out of here. I can't handle this anymore. And he takes himself to a place called Catfish Camp, which is today Washington, Pennsylvania, which is about 30 miles away from the Ohio River. That's where he is when this massacre happens. Logan is also not there. The Logan of Logan's Lament is also out hunting when his mother, brother, and sister are murdered as well. So neither of the people that we associate with this are anywhere near the area.
Important to establish the Cressups are a violent family, and Thomas Cressup, the patriarch, has often traded shots with authorities when he was living in Maryland and there was a contest between Maryland and Pennsylvania. Michael Cressup has grown up in a family. They are the law wherever they are, and they often build on lands that used to be Native American lands. They're not quite invaders, they're land speculators. They take advantage of where there is no law or where there is tension between Pennsylvania and Virginia. The Shekalemis, on the other hand, as the professor has introduced, are the closest thing I can word is the word diplomat. Does that work, Rob?
Yep.
Diplomat.
Yep. Yep.
And
ambassador, diplomat, yep.
And Logan, the second son, is the most diplomatic of all. And his family is no threat to anyone. So what happens, and Rob, you identified as the horror, which is the word from Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness. Mm-hmm. The men who did the killing, why, Rob, can you piece it together? Why would they open fire on defenseless women? And there was a baby in the arms of one of them.
That's right. The baby is the baby of John Gibson, who you identified at the top as the translator of Logan's Lament. He is Kune, which is the name of Logan's sister, runs out of the tavern and makes it down to the shoreline of the Ohio River, clutching this infant in her arms. And she turns around and begs for the child's life. Please don't shoot this baby. And she said, what the record says is he is the son of a white man, John Gibson. And they allow her to hand the baby over, and then they shoot her in the forehead.
Right. And this massacre right now, we identify the moment when Logan himself is not a present, but he will learn about it.
Yep.
And that leads to eventually the lament. But I want to characterize all of these Indian Native American confrontations. There was something of the violence everywhere, Rob, in reading the story. At any moment, I think you had one scene where three Native Americans came forward across the field. They put their rifles down outside and went inside and started being convivial with the family. But at one point, one of them reached over to a young woman's hair, a daughter's hair, and stroked it and said something in his tongue like, that would make a nice scalp. So there's tension always. Is that the way to think of this, Rob?
Yes. Well, that's what the young man... it thinks is what is being said. We don't know that that's exactly what he said, but the fear is ever present, that they are terrified. And that scene comes at the very end of Pontiac's War, which is yet another episode of conflict after the Seven Years' War and before Yellow Creek. And in that, there is a significant fight in Old Town in which Michael Cressup kills a native person who's attacking his home at the very end of the lane of his house and scalps him and takes his moccasins. So Michael does this at 21 years old, and his older brother, Thomas Cressup Jr., was killed during the Seven Years' War in the hills not very far away. So these are families that are extraordinarily familiar with trauma and horror and violence.
We're now going to turn to a transformation that is a complete surprise. Michael Cressup, who has been the boaster and threatener, but at the same time not present at the scene of the murders that he encouraged, we're going to turn him into a patriot. The book is Heart of American Darkness. Robert Parkinson is the author. I'm John Bashley.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.